Chapter 3. Henry becomes king.
My husband's older brother, the Dauphin Francis, was next in line to the French throne after King Francis's death. I decided I must remove him from this position so that my husband Henry could be king and I could be queen. Since I wasn't very attractive, I needed other women to help me manipulate my enemies. That is why I surrounded myself with beautiful women. These women brought lots of delicious food to my husband's brother Francis. But the food had poison in it. The women brought him poisonous fish sauces and decorated apples and cakes. He could not resist them. I sat with him at dinner while he was eating and talked to him as if nothing was wrong. One evening in 1536, I watched excitedly as he began to feel sicker and sicker, until finally he fell over. His servants carried him to his bedroom, and he died that night. My plan was successful, and I was happy. Henry was next in line for the French throne. But the French people weren't happy at all. They didn't want an Italian queen, especially one without royal blood. They looked for a reason to replace me and chose the fact that we didn't have any children. This was a good enough reason to remove me from the throne. "This woman is unacceptable," the people said. "The king must get a divorce. We must have a new queen, and she must give him many royal children." I looked for help to medicine, astrology, and magic, and soon I began to have children, one after the other. Over the next 10 years, I had 10 children. 3 of them died as babies, but 3 of the others later became kings of France: Francis II, Charles IX, and Henry III. My position was safe. In 1547, my husband's father, King Francis I, died of natural causes. I loved him and didn't want to hurt him, not even to become queen. I was very sad to lose my only friend in the French court. My husband became King Henry II of France, and I became Queen Catherine. However, during my husband's reign, I didn't have much power. My husband spent much of his time with Diane de Poitiers, and she had complete control over him. She controlled the court and made all the important decisions for the country. This made me very angry, but I kept my feelings to myself, although I plotted and schemed in my heart. As Nostradamus predicted, in 1559, my husband died in a jousting match, and my weak 15-year-old son became King Francis II. To my delight, Diane de Poitiers immediately became a nobody. Francis was married to Mary, Queen of Scots, but she was not interested in politics and was controlled by her uncles, the Cardinal of Lorraine and the Duke of Guise. Soon, I got tired of their power and began to plan ways to take some of it from them. My poor Francis died a year later in a riding accident, and then my 10-year-old son Charles became King Charles IX. After years of silence as Henry's wife, I began to have more and more power in the court during the reigns of my sons. I had a wonderful life. I gave magnificent parties at the Chateau de Fontainebleau, and I invented games and dances to entertain everybody. I was a great archer, and I loved hunting. I built and decorated the Tuileries Palace and designed the Tuileries Garden in Paris. I even began to write political pamphlets. This life continued for over 20 years. But it was a difficult period in French history, the time of the French Wars of Religion. There was constant fighting between the Protestants and the Catholics. At first, I listened to my moderate advisers and tried to speak to both sides and solve the conflicts. But I wasn't a moderate character. Sometimes, I supported the Catholics because I was a Catholic myself. But other times, I supported the Protestants because it helped to weaken the power of Mary's family, especially the Duke of Guise. I saw politics as a career. I believed politicians needed to use secrecy, lies, and murder to win. I studied The Prince, Machiavelli's book, written as a guide for my father in Florence. I worried about my son's health because they were all physically weak and because of Nostradamus's predictions of their early deaths. After endless civil wars, I decided to try politics again. One of the best ways to solve political problems was to marry my children to important allies. I married my first daughter, Elizabeth of Valois, to Philip II of Spain, and my third daughter to the Duke of Navarre. I also tried to marry my third son to Queen Elizabeth I of England, but this plan wasn't successful. Finally, I invited Admiral Gaspard de Coligny, a leader of the Protestants, to the palace. My son Charles admired him very much, and he began to be influenced by the admiral's political ideas. Soon, my son and I started to argue, and our relationship was in danger. I had only one choice, to kill Coligny before it was too late. I ordered his murder, but the attempt failed, although the admiral was hurt. Then I became desperate. This time, I ordered the murder of Coligny and all his Protestant followers. This event began on the night of the 24th of August, 1572, and was later called the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre.